Again, the WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today. Friends, God bless you. Happy Monday to you, and thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Monday with me, studying the Word of God together. Our trek today is going to take us to what history records as the corrupt church. That's where we're at here on WGOD Radio. Alternating between my Sunday sermons at Island Community Church, where we're in 1 John. That message you'll hear, by the way, on Wednesday. And the book of Revelation, verse by verse. We're looking at the corrupt church, and this is the church at Thyatira. And I love these letters to the churches. They start with an awesome description from the Son of God. Imagine being the pastor, because he wrote these, I believe, to the pastor, where it says to the angel, it's the word angelos, messenger. I believe it's the pastor he's talking to. To the pastor of the church at, now here it's Thyatira. He says, I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than your first. Nevertheless, I've got a few things against you. Imagine reading that in your mail on Monday. A letter from the Son of God. And that's what these seven pastors all got. And we're up to the church known as the corrupt church in Thyatira. And that is where we are going to be here today and tomorrow. Wednesday, like I said, we will be in 1 John with my sermon, Are You a Friend of God or a Friend of the World? In the meantime, let's take a look at what the corrupt church looks like. How dare you rejoice in the house of God? Make thine face dreary, O sister. Now today we're looking at something called the corrupt church. We're traveling to Thyatira today. Now Thyatira, 40 miles southeast. Okay, the mailman's going south now. Remember, he left the island of Patmos, went to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, now Thyatira, a much smaller city, situated in an area known for its abundant crops and the manufacture of purple dye. I believe Lydia was from Thyatira. The church was small. But the church was singled out for this penetrating letter of rebuke. I like that. Singled out. Remember, there's more than seven churches in Asia. There was a whole bunch of churches there. It wasn't just seven. But the Lord picked out this church for this rebuke. A rebuke because he loves them. And he doesn't want to see them destroy themselves. So let's go to Thyatira, let's snoop and again read somebody else's mail, as we did 2 weeks ago. We'll modernize this a little at the end if we need to, see if we can find any current issues in the church today to have historians call us corrupt, as they did this church. And what makes a church corrupt? Let's see what made this church corrupt. We're in Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Now, under the messenger of the church in Thyatira, right? These things are thus says the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass, or chalcolimbano is the word. Very rare word. It's not brass. The word chalcolimbano was a combination of metals which, when shined and buffed, had this magnificent brilliance that shined from this metal. Finding a loss for words, they called it brass. Thus says the Son of God, whose eyes are like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine calcolimbano. So much for the doctors of theology on television that say Jesus never said he was God. Thus says the Son of God. Once again, he's following the pattern of all these letters. Starts with a description of himself taken from the first chapter. All of these are taken from the first chapter. Whatever it is that he starts with an attribute about himself. Thus says the Son of God. Who has eyes like a flame of fire, steely eyes, penetrating eyes that can see right through you. Hebrews 4:13, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. His feet, again, fine brass. A number of metals characterized by brilliance when polished. Now, Jesus, remember, he was unrecognizable after his resurrection. When John saw him, he fell at his feet like a dead man. Even on earth, they didn't recognize him after he was raised up from the dead. Okay, next up, the commendation. Verse 19, I know your works. Let me read it from the King James. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and hupomeno and works. Hey, he must have forgotten. He said works twice. Not. I know your works, love, service, faith, hupomeno, and works again. One translation says, I can see your constant improvement in all things. Notice the importance of works. James 2:14. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Now, he's anticipating a negative answer here. He set you up for you to say no, not yes. Now, Martin Luther didn't like that. That's why he took the book of James and put it after Revelation in his Bible and called it an epistle of straw, because Martin Luther hated James. Can faith save you alone? He wants you to say no. It's got to have something with it. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them nothing, you give to them not those things needful for the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. Your faith is dead. Your faith is dead. Your faith is dead, being alone. Is your faith all alone on a desert island? If it is, fix it. Thank God you're alive. You're here today at church. You can fix these things. It's not too late for you. Faith by itself, if it has not works, is dead. Meaning it's worthless and good for nothing. Join to your faith works. If you've got a good grasp but how short time is out here today, and how much is left to do? Yea, a man may say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Okay, so this church is commended for their works twice even. They are commended for their love. Now, remember, the church at Ephesus was castigated for their lack thereof. These guys are commended for it. They're commended for their service. Greek word, diakonos, where our word deacon comes from. Servant, someone who waits tables. Servant, waiter. They're also commended for what the King James calls patience. New American Standard calls it endurance. My whole sermon last week was based on it. Hupomeno, right? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces umph, hupomeno. James 1, 2, and 3. Romans 5, 3. Not only that, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Notice the word produces in both of those texts. The attitude of fortitude Polycarp had in Antipas, the three Hebrews in the burning fiery furnace, that all came about through persevering under trials. This is where we left off last week. How do you walk into a bronze kettle? Through perseverance. How do you get it? Through abiding under the hand of God when your life gets difficult. And he deliberately makes your life difficult. On purpose. Because he loves you. That's why James says, count it all joy when it happens to you. This is why the Son of God commended them for having it. Because without it, you'll never make it. If you don't have the God compound, and if you're unlucky, you'll never make it. If you're unlucky, if you're one of the lucky saps that dies with no tribulation, consider yourself blessed. You believe in Christ, you never have anything happen to you, and you die and leave this world, you're blessed. I call you lucky, because that's not the average. The average is someone knocking on the door saying, are there any Christians? Or the average is that are going to have to ask, actually do what Jesus said, and that is hate your life. Those who hate your life are going to lose it. That's the law of averages. That's everyone else in the church. If you don't have the God compound, you'll never make it. If you cut bait and run when it's hot in the kitchen, you'll never make it. Perseverance gets developed or produced on the inside when you hunker down in the midst of trials and trouble and allow God to deliver you through whatever it is you're going through. So again, as we see here, they're blessed. The Son of God blesses them for having it, because when you have it, you can go through anything that comes your way. Just like David and all these people in the Bible that had it. Because God made their life difficult, and he came through for them with whatever they were going through, and it built something on the inside of you that you have to go through to get. Just like what I believe, when you go through the burning fiery furnace, the Son of God goes through with you. But I can't teach it. I can show you of witnesses that had it happen to them. Read the last thing that Paul wrote. At the end, everyone abandoned me except for Jesus Christ, who stood with me. The three Hebrews in the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar goes, didn't we put three in there? They said, yep. He goes, why do I see four in there? And the fourth guy looks like the Son of God. Maybe you say, oh, they added that in later. No, that's in the Dead Sea Scrolls. 100 years B.C. That's in the Greek Septuagint. 285 years before anyone heard of Jesus Christ. The book of Daniel, the king says, I see four guys in there, and the fourth guy looks like the Son of God. I can't teach that. You got to go through the fire to have that happen to you. But I guarantee it'll happen. When you go through the fire and stand up for Jesus and firm in the faith and hate your life enough to do what he says and be like Peter and get out of that boat, I guarantee you he'll go with you in the fire. I guarantee it, because it says so in here. Because this book is written by witnesses. And it happened to them. And the people that saw it wrote it down so that you would remember it. That God is faithful. And he'll come through with whatever you're going through. Come through for you and whatever you're going through. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him because he careth for you. Okay, we've looked at the Lord's attribute of himself, the Son of God, whose feet are like finely polished brilliance. And his eyes like a flame of fire. He can look right through you. Knows when you're lying. Knows when you're serious. He knows when you mean what you say. And we looked at the Lord's commendation, even to the corrupt church, for what they're doing right. That list of things here. Their works, their love, their service, their faith, their hupomeno, and their works again. Now comes number three, the admonishment. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, I've got a few things against you, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. First, the Lord made mention a couple weeks ago with those that call themselves apostles. And the church at Ephesus successfully tested them, remember? That's what they were commended for. You tested those that said they were apostles and are not, but were the synagogue of Satan. Isn't it funny? Both of these arguable gifts today are the same ones he condemned back then. Those that call themselves apostles. Here he says, I've got this against you. You put up with, you endure this woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. No one else calls her that. The church doesn't acknowledge her as that. She calls herself that. I've met thousands of people that call themselves apostles and prophets. You know how you tell a difference? I'll tell you right here and now. Every prophet, please don't forget this. Every prophet who's ever lived, Old Testament and New, all had the same unified message. Turn from sin. Or like Jonah said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. The judgment of God is coming. Repent. Quit doing that. Your solemn assemblies make me sick. Turn back to God. Your sins will find you out. If you don't stop sinning and return to God, you're going to die. That's the message of every prophet who's ever lived. So did you know in the New Testament there is only one thus saith the Lord in the whole New Testament? It's all over the Old Testament. There's only one in the New, other than the Son of God talking. There's only one, thus saith the Lord, in the New Testament. It comes out of Acts chapter 21, verse 10. The prophet's name was Agabus. He went up to Paul. He took his belt from off of him, and he wrapped it around his arms and says, thus the same is going to happen to the guy that owns this belt. And they're going to haul him away and arrest him. It's the only, thus saith the Lord, in the whole New Testament, which led to his death ultimately. That's the only time you'll see that there. These were the messages of every single solitary prophet who's ever lived, cover to cover, in the Holy Bible. So when someone comes up to you and says they're a prophet, and they tell you where your Uncle Harry hid his will, know and understand, you're not hearing from a prophet of God. No prophet of God will ask you to plant anything. No prophet of God will ask you to sow any seed. He won't ask you for $1,000. He won't ask you for $500. He won't ask you for anything. The prophet of God does not ask you for anything. The prophet of God does not have revivals. I once heard John Hagee say, if I once had a prophet in my church, he would clear this church out in 15 minutes. I don't want a prophet here. I'm scared of them. Hagee said he'll clear my church out in 15 minutes. How many people in here want your sins up here on the overhead? Come on, speak up. Who wants all their sins up here? to go on TV, national TV, for everyone to see all your deep and secret sins, everything you're embarrassed of, everything you did yesterday or way back when. This is what a prophet of God did. It's why when Samuel came to town, what happened? It says their knees knocked when he came to town. And his knees knocked. They say, "Is it well, O seer?" They were scared to death when a prophet came to town. Now they hold parties for them. That's the kind of stuff you see in a corrupt church. When prophets come to town, people leave. They don't gather to them, they run from them. Because the message of the prophet is turn or burn. Everyone understand that? The message of the prophet of God is turn or burn. Stop sinning now. Like Jonah, 40 days. My Greek Septuagint doesn't say 40, it says 3. The Greek Old Testament says 3 days, O Nineveh. You've got 3 days to repent or else. Not 40. And they put sackcloth on the cats and dogs. 3 days. That is what a real prophet looks like. That's why God said to Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah, do not be dismayed by the looks on their faces. Because when you give them the real message of God, they're going to be like this. They're going to want to kill you. Do not be dismayed by the looks on their faces, God warned them. Especially Ezekiel and Jeremiah. Look at what happened to Jeremiah in his life. Verse 21. Jesus goes on, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. He says he gives her time. He gives you time to repent. I gave her time to repent, but she chose not to repent. End result, verse 22, behold, I will cast her into a bed, or a sick bed, and those that commit adultery with her in the great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Now, this is much worse than it sounds. The Greek word here for bed is the word kline. It means a stretcher. Again, Esposito vernacular. The Lord Jesus' message to the pastor of this corrupt church is they're going to haul this woman out of here in a stretcher. If she doesn't knock it off and quit sinning and quit leading my people to sin, he's madder than a hornet at this pastor.
Time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio, and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see. You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA. Cocoa Beach and Vieira, FM 102.3.
To make a difference here, it's all too clear.